Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Usually the quadrennial circus of presidential politics here in the U.S. is corny, scripted, banal, and deadly boring. The battle between smiling liar number one and smiling liar number two is a bore, because almost everyone knows, if only instinctively, that all the smilers have been pre-approved by the money men behind the scenes, and that nothing significant is going to change. The more astute have even figured out that the money men are all Jews, but that just makes the election more of a nullity than ever. But this time, even one as jaded as I am has to admit that there is a real contest going on. In this case, a money man who is not a Jew, Donald Trump, is running against the Jews' handpicked candidates, and the Jews hate it. He is hated because he's his own man, and not only doesn't read from their script, but goes wildly off-narrative at unpredictable times, especially when it comes to slowing down immigration and putting some restrictions on free trade. The Jews have a loose 600-millimeter mortar on deck right now, and they don't like it. I detailed my objections to Trump last week. Despite a great deal of evidence that he is fully on board with Zionism, multiracialism, and torturing and executing those who oppose the blood-soaked federal monster in Washington, there are quite a few racially conscious whites who are enthusiastic about him. And okay, even I admit that I like the way he's shaking up the status quo and thumbing his nose at the power brokers. I continue to see some really crazy pro-Trump rhetoric out there. When Trump ascends to his throne of power, the age of the Jew has ended, and now we enter the age of kings. Jews enter panic mode over rise of glorious leader. It's pretty damned hilarious, and probably intended to be. But the enthusiasm is real. The engagement is real. It's almost everywhere I look. By the way, do you want proof that the Jews aren't supermen? Look at their facepalm move of rolling out sad old Mitt Romney to try and derail the Trump train. At the end of January, the Romney organization even quietly amended their filing for the presidential race at the Federal Election Commission. Shades of Bob Dole and American Motors. Romney is about as likely to be elected as an AMC gremlin is to become the new presidential limo. Of course, it isn't just the fully racially conscious who are jumping on board with Trump. His frankness and confidence and independence and willingness to articulate the anger of the dispossessed has energized a huge swath of white working Americans who are tired of being used and abused. In fact, what the Trump phenomenon shows us is that literally millions of our people are ready for a white man on horseback right now, a strong man who will use political power without restraint against those he deems enemies, and the proprieties and taboos and existing pecking order be damned. That's a good sign. Trump is not the strong man we hope for, but the fact that millions think he is and like it is a very hopeful sign. Now, Trump is going to disappoint those millions, He's already backpedaling on his opposition to the so-called H-1B visa program, which has gotten many, many white American technicians and engineers fired after some of them were forced to train their Indian or Pakistani or Middle Eastern replacements. Trump originally opposed the visa program, but couched his opposition in terms of helping blacks, mestizos, and other indigenous minorities get and keep high-tech jobs. But at the last Republican debate, Trump has done a 180-degree turn. He calls it softening his position, and now says we need these well-educated, non-white aliens to make America great again. In fact, he announced his new position using almost exactly the same phraseology as the statements made by Bill Gates, Sheldon Adelson, and Warren Buffett 2 years ago when they were lobbying for even more replacement migration. Trump's words of last week, quote, "One of the biggest problems we have is people go to the best colleges. As soon as they're finished, they get shoved out. They want to stay in this country. They want to stay here desperately. They're not able to stay here. For that purpose, we absolutely have to be able to keep the brain power in this country." Close quote. Adelson and Company's words of 2014, quote, "We believe it borders on insanity to train intelligent and motivated people in our universities, often subsidizing their education, and then to deport them when they graduate." Close quote. Well, somebody's been talking to somebody. Maybe when casino billionaire Trump met with much bigger casino billionaire Adelson back in December, certain understandings were reached, and not all of them were connected to Israel. I think Trump was probably only being himself on that reality television show where he fired so many people with relish and gusto. He admires winners who produce results and possess power. He has disdain for people who put other things besides winning higher on their scale of values. As National Vanguard writer John I. Johnson put it, quote, "How long before the Jews demand that Trump explicitly condemn his white racist anti-Semitic supporters, as they demand of all candidates whites speak well of or even associate with in the most marginal way? That's how they run things. Jewish hate, genocidal hate, is okay. In fact, it's admirable. But the slightest hint that white interests even exist must be renounced, condemned, and repudiated." What will Trump's reaction be? Listen. To Trump, Jews are tough. They are winners. Whites are weak. They are losers. That's the way his mind works. Of course, he also likes to fight. But Jews know his personality intimately, and they have the power. He doesn't. The only reason for him to fight in this case is that he doesn't like to be dictated to. But there is no principle involved. He doesn't care about white survival or even the borders, frankly. He merely had the chutzpah to make immigration a political issue when no one else would. Close quote. Trump, if he manages to get elected, and barring a miraculous and perfectly hidden agenda, which I find it impossible to believe in, is going to disappoint his constituency greatly on many fronts. Not only is Trump a true believer in the current system who wants to augment its power and destroy its opponents, not only is he a true believing Zionist and multiracialist, but as president, he would be at the mercy of a business-as-usual Congress, which would support him only to the degree that he danced to the Jewish tune. Mass media with the same agenda as ever. An entrenched bureaucracy that would stubbornly oppose even the limited changes he might want. A banking elite with utter freedom to do what it will with the economy and the wealth of the nation. And a veritable half a continent with their right hands out and their left hands on the voting buttons. Trump, on the other hand, would only be president. And that by itself really isn't very much. In fact, there is going to be a very great disappointment in the political system no matter which way this election goes. If Trump is denied the nomination, there will be massive alienation and anger. If Trump is nominated but not elected, the same. If Trump is elected and immediately shows his fans that he is definitely not the great white hope they imagine he is, even more alienation and anger. If Trump is elected and quickly folds or otherwise fails to come through, even on the limited promises he has made, then there will be alienation and anger beyond anything we've experienced. And at least one of these things is going to happen. There's been open talk from Trump's bought-and-paid-for rivals that a secret tape of Trump's off-the-record remarks to a New York Times reporter exists, and that in it, Trump repudiates a lot of his own rhetoric on immigration. Some in the "We Must Stop Trump" camp are demanding that the tape be released now, but The Times claims to be standing on principle and won't release it unless Trump agrees. Well, The New York Times, standing on principle, should be regarded like Yellow Kid Weill offering you half the money in the wallet he just found. There's a trick in there somewhere. Some have suggested that the tape will be strategically leaked at just the right psychological moment to tip the convention or the election, whichever is deemed better timing by its owners. And that just points up the essential nature of mass democracy. The whole problem is that the mob of half-dumb voters is easily swayed from moment to moment, and the fickle allegiance of this ignorant, stupid mob at just exactly the right moment, election day, is needed to win. So politics devolves into boob herding and boob fooling and boob finessing in every mass democracy. And those who are skilled at doing that and have the money and media infrastructure to do that hold the real power. I even expect them to groom and fund and control their own strongman candidates in the future. Count on it. The boobs need to be disenfranchised for any real change to take place. And that's never going to be allowed to happen through the ballot box. We need a whites-only government and whites-only elections. And even among just whites, one man, one vote is a very bad way to run things. If mass democratic voting is a bad way to decide how to find dry land or how to assemble a watch from raw materials, and it is, then it is a bad way to decide what the state should be and do. If we accept, for the sake of argument, though, that some decisions will be made by voting, then a rather severe qualification system should be implemented to eliminate ignoramuses, idiots, and subversives, and deny them the right to vote. Deciding things by voting, of course, would be an order of magnitude less suicidal if we also had our own white media, owned and controlled by our own people. With our own people being led and bound together by an entirely new belief system, and by sacred laws which made the highest values and highest purposes of our society the survival and upward progress of our race. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we must aim for. That, not the outcome of another presidential popularity contest, is the vision that should fill our minds and our dreams for every second of every day. That is the goal to which we must dedicate our lives and our energy, our money and our time, our blood and our sacrifices, giving our all until we can't give anymore. The unstable political situation in the United States is fraught with justified anger and unjustified hope. That is a most potent combination for bringing new minds and new hearts to the National Alliance's radical, revolutionary, and necessary vision of the future. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. Volume 2 of our CD series, containing 20 more of the best radio speeches by our founder, Dr. William L. Pierce, is now available. It's entitled William Pierce, The Power of Truth, Volume 2. To get your copy, just visit natall.com, that's natall.com, and click on CD offer, or send $16 for one CD, $50 for five CDs, to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. That's National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Or go to natall.com, natall.com, and click on CD offer. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout. Shout to the sky.